a wife from my family. Go to Laban, my brother, and try to find a wife amongst the family and stay there and stay safe. So when Jacob gets there, he sees Rachel. In Genesis 29 and verse 10, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, Jacob went up and rolled the stone from the mouth of the well and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel, lifted his voice, and wept. Jacob, from the very first moment that he lays eyes on Rachel, is enamored with Rachel. He falls in love. You might, you know, use the expression, it was love at first sight. She was an answer to his prayer. In verses 15 through 17, then Laban said to Jacob, because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me what shall be your wages. Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and face. So we find these two sisters, again here in verses 15 through 17, being compared and contrasted with one another. Leah's eyes were weak, but it speaks of Rachel being beautiful in form and in face. Let's begin tonight by talking about some of Leah's heartache. So Jacob comes and he sees Rachel, and immediately he falls in love with her and basically says, I'll work 7 years if I can marry her. So in verses 18 through 20 of Genesis chapter 29, now Jacob loved Rachel. So he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Laban said, it is better that I give you to her, or give her to you, than to give her to another man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. Can you imagine how Leah feels right now? This man comes in, as probably lots of other men have, and says, look how beautiful your sister is. You ever had that happen to you? Some guy or girl that you really like and you'd like to start dating and you've always wanted to talk to, and here they come. They're coming up to you and said, could you give me your brother's phone number? Could I have your sister's phone number so that I could call her? Now, how would that make you feel? Here's the older sister, and we find out in verse 26 that Laban describes this, might call it tradition, but Laban said, it is not the practice of our place to marry off the younger before the firstborn. Now, we'll find out later on as well that Laban also, like Jacob, like his mother, Rebekah, are tricksters. Right? They seem to like to play tricks on people. But if you do a little research in history, and I don't know about this particular place, but this certainly was a practice in that day, in some places, that the older was meant to be married before the younger. And so if the younger was betrothed before the older, then that younger would have to wait until the older found someone before they could be married. So certainly this may not be off track, but can you imagine Leah saying, why can't I find someone? What about me? Right? Everyone's always after my sister. And certainly, as we're told this, starting in verse 21 through 23, then Jacob said, after the 7 years were up, give me my wife, for my time is completed, that I may go into her. Laban gathered all the men of the place and made a feast. Now in the evening he took his daughter, Rachel? No. He took his daughter Leah and brought her to him, and Jacob went into her. We find out in verses 24 and 25 that Jacob wakes up disappointed. To me, Leah is being used. Now, let's not excuse her. We're not excused. She was part of this. But I believe her father is using her as a pawn in his little game to get a little bit more work out of Jacob, knowing that Jacob is making him prosper. And so I want to stay here a little bit longer. And so he uses his daughter as a pawn in that scheme. And again, she is not guiltless in this. Don't misunderstand. But can you imagine the situation that she's in? Everybody wants Rachel. But what about me? So in verses 24 and 25, Laban also gave his handmaid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came about in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served with you? Why then have you deceived me?" And that's when we find out in verse 26 about this custom, that it is not our custom to marry the younger before the older. And I'm thinking probably the same thing that Jacob was thinking. Why didn't you tell me that 7 years ago? Wouldn't that have been something to bring up then? But what would Jacob have done? He certainly wouldn't have married Leah. Okay, I'll just wait until Leah finds someone. So think about this. She's already the older. It's already been 7 years, and she obviously hasn't found anyone yet. Speculation on my part, it causes me to wonder to see if Laban might be thinking, you know what, this might be my only chance to marry off Leah. And so he devises this scheme with his daughter. Now, starting in verse 27, here's what Laban says. "Complete the week of this one, and I will give you the other one also for the service which you shall serve me with for another 7 years." Jacob did so and completed her week and gave him his daughter Rachel as wife. Laban also gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her maid. So Jacob went into Rachel also. And indeed, he loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served Laban for another 7 years. We find that Rachel was loved, and Leah, depending on what translation you're looking at, was either unloved or hated by Jacob. So can you imagine Leah's predicament here? Leah is married now to Jacob, but all Jacob is thinking about is Rachel. Can you imagine the heartache that that would cause for this woman? Jacob, her husband, had to be convinced to give her basically, quote unquote, her honeymoon. Right? Fulfill her week, and then you can have the sister. And so the week that he's fulfilling is not really for Leah, is it? He's fulfilling this week so that he can have Rachel, the one that he wanted all along. Can you imagine the heartache that Leah has living with things like, you know, you're not as pretty as your sister? Standing there, the both of them, probably oftentimes, again, speculation on my part, standing there, the both of them, and people coming up to Laban and his wife, telling them how beautiful Rachel is. Can you imagine the heartache that this causes for Leah? She's been used by her father to keep Jacob around a little bit longer. We find out later that he even spends both her and Rachel's inheritance, what they were supposed to take with them, what they were supposed to get. He spent it all. Can you imagine the heartache that that caused? As we read on through the story, we find out that Leah's children even aren't as loved as Rachel's children. I tell people this all the time. You can say anything you want about me. I can take it. But the moment you start talking about my children, talking about my wife, we're going to start to have issues. We're going to start to have problems. Right? You don't want your children talked about that way. You don't want your spouse talked about that way. Leah is by herself in this because it's her husband that doesn't love his own children because they came from her as much as he loves the children that come from Rachel. Can you imagine how difficult this is for Leah? Again, she's not guiltless. But can you imagine how she feels? What heartache this has caused. So I believe that Leah finally turns to God. I think as she began having children, she thought that the kids would help. And I've seen this happen in marriages, right? Because husband and wife aren't getting along, they think to themselves, well, maybe if we have a child, maybe that will help our relationship. And in so many cases, it doesn't. Because there's still something broken in the marriage relationship. But I believe that Leah thinks that this is going to help. This is going to cause my husband to love me. Because so far I am unloved. How often do we, instead of turning to God, do we use physical things to try to make ourselves feel better instead of looking for the spiritual blessings that we have through God? Look at verse 32 of Genesis chapter 29. Leah conceived and bore a son and named him Reuben. Why did she name him Reuben? Well, Reuben, literally in the Hebrew, means see or look a son. You see what she's doing in naming him? Look, Jacob, I've given you a son. See a son. Now will you love me? Look what I have provided for you. Look, a son. See a son. I teased one of my friends once. He's got four daughters. And his first grandchild was a son. And I said, you need to name that boy Reuben. Because he was wanting a son for a long time. And a grandson was good enough. Said, you need to name that boy Reuben. Look, a son, finally. What I've been looking for. It's almost like Leah is taking up Reuben to Jacob and saying, look, see, a son. Look what I did. Look what I've provided for you. Then we move on into verse 32. It doesn't seem to faze Jacob at all. Because she keeps trying. She conceived again and bore a son. And said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved. He is therefore giving me this son also. And so she named him Simeon, which means heard. God has heard me. Maybe my husband will hear me this time. This is another son. God finally heard me. He's provided again. So that maybe my husband will love me. It doesn't change. Look at verse 34. She conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me. And so she named him Levi, which again is very similar to the Hebrew that means attached. She is just looking for some attention. She is looking for someone to love her, for her husband. Not really just someone, but for her husband to love her. And then we get to verse 35. What's the definition or the layman's definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, right? Look what happens this time in verse 35. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, this time This time I will praise the Lord. Therefore she named him Judah. Then she stopped bearing. I'm not going to do this again. I'm going to stop trying to impress my husband because he's not listening. I am finally going to stop and realize that God has given me 4 sons. And this time, I am going to praise God. How often do we fall into the trap that Leah falls into? We want something. We're not getting exactly what we want, but yet we're overlooking. Because we're not getting exactly what we want, we overlook all of the other blessings that God has given us. Leah finally opens her eyes and says, "You look at how God has blessed me. I have been blessed with 4 sons. So this time, with Judah, I'm going to praise God." Is it any wonder? Have you ever wondered, why is it that Jesus came through the line of the 4th son and not the 1st? Might it be this? Finally, she realizes this is a gift from God. And once she does, God says, okay, I can send the Messiah through this line because you finally recognized what you had. God finally hears Leah. You know, we talked about adversity. We might think of adversity as a fire, but there are a couple of different types of fire. We might think of some fires as we call a dumpster fire, right? They're just garbage, right? Just on fire. Uncontrollable almost. We look at someone's life and we equate it to a dumpster fire. That means they don't have control over what's going on. That can be one kind of fire. But Zechariah 13 and verse 9 says, "And I will bring the 3rd part through the fire. Refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested." A fire not only can be an out of control dumpster fire, but it can be, if we allow it to be, a refining fire. Do you think Jacob missed something in Leah? Because all of Jacob's attention is on Rachel. But while Jacob was looking at Rachel, Leah in her heart was starving for love. His wife was starving to be loved. He doesn't realize that even in the naming of her children, she was crying out to God. Right? This time the Lord will hear me. This time the Lord has heard. Maybe my husband will see me now. God has provided me with a son. All until she gets to Judah. Says, you know what? I'm not going to worry about my husband anymore. I'm just going to praise God for what He has given me. While Jacob was looking at Rachel, Leah was busy building the house of God. You realize that she had 7 children before Rachel even ever had one? Not to mention the 2 that she provided through her handmaid, which is another story that we won't get into. But Leah herself provided for Jacob 6 sons and 1 daughter before Rachel even provided him with 1. She was building God's house and Jacob didn't see it. He was too busy looking at Rachel. While Jacob was looking at Rachel, Leah was going about redeeming God's people. In verse 31 of Genesis 29, "Now the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, and He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren." The Lord saw. The Lord saw Leah. It is a reminder that He sees us too. He may not always act as quickly as we would want. He may not always act in the way that we want. See, Leah is crying out and she's asking for her husband to love her, but what God did is provide her with children. Provided himself, really, a way to redeem his people. To answer the promise that he had made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And for the most part, he did that through Leah, not Rachel. Do we spend our lives concerned about only what we don't have? Do we spend our time concerned about what maybe what other people are doing, but forget about ourselves and what we are doing, what God has already given us? So oftentimes we see that in children, but we act the same way. Right? You go to the store and the child wants a toy, and you tell that child, we've got 1,000 toys at home that you don't even play with, but I want this one because it's in front of me and I can see it right now. I need something else. I need something new. Leah gets to that fourth child and realizes what she has and says, this time I am going to praise God. She realizes what God has given her. She realizes that she had had 7 children before Rachel even had one. Leah had Levi, which was going to be the priestly line. Moses did not come through Rachel, the beloved. Moses came through Leah, the unloved. The kingly line with Judah. David came from Leah, not Rachel. Jesus came from Leah, not Rachel. Leah is beginning to realize what she has. Now, she may not know in depth that her children are going to be the priests, her children are going to be the king, that the Messiah is going to come through her. But certainly they would, and I think she's starting to realize it when she has Judah. How often does God use the despised and rejected to do His will? Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3. Speaking of Jesus, He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. That could be a definition of Leah, couldn't it? Was Leah despised and rejected? Was she forsaken by men? Was she a woman of sorrow, acquainted with grief? Did men hide their face? They couldn't see past Rachel to even see that Leah existed. But yet God used her. And used her in a great way. So I hope that Isaiah 53 sounds familiar when we start reading about Leah as well. In the 22nd Psalm, a Psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Again, we look at Psalm 22 and realize that this is a foreshadowing of Jesus when He said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? But notice, starting in verse 22, this same psalm, I will tell of your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise you. Leah finally did that. She felt forsaken. But at some point in her life, she said, this time, I'm going to praise. I'm not going to forget this time what God has done for me. You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All descendants of Jacob, glorify Him like your mother. In most cases, it was Leah, like your mother did. Glorify Him. Stand in awe of Him and all your descendants of Israel. For He has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him for help, he heard. Just like he heard Leah's cry for help. What if through our suffering, someone else is being helped? Think about that. Leah was suffering. And yet all the while she is suffering, while she is hurt, God is building Israel through her. Isn't that amazing? She is being used to build the house of Israel. But yet, she feels unloved and inadequate. I need you to understand that you don't have to be physically ugly to let your inner beauty shine. I don't know what Leah looked like. Apparently, she was not as good looking as her sister was. I'm sure my sister understands that, right? I'm the good looking one. Kit, don't tell her I said that. I'm kidding. But I'm sure Leah feels this. She feels ugly. Whether she was ugly, I have no idea. It says her eyes were weak, and she was not as good looking as her sister. And Jacob, her husband, didn't pay a bit of attention to her. And yet all the while, she finally let her inner beauty shine by saying, "This time, I'm just going to praise God for what He has given to me." We need to see beauty through God's eyes. Is it good that if you have a spouse that you're physically attractive? Of course it is. But we need to first see beauty through God's eyes. Proverbs 31, starting in verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, because it will go away. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Physical beauty will go away. If you still feel like you're physically beautiful, that good. Good for you. It will go away. But a woman and a man who fears the Lord, that person will be praised. So whatever happened to Leah? Well, understand that Rachel died very young. We don't know exactly what age, but she basically died when Benjamin was born. But what happened to Leah? Look at Genesis chapter 49, starting in verse 30. As Jacob is getting ready to die, he's giving his sons some instructions. And notice what he says, "In the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought along with the field from Ephron the Hittite for a burial site. There they buried Abraham and his wife Sarah. There they buried Isaac and his wife Rebekah. And there I buried Leah." I don't know if Jacob finally got it at some point. Or not, we really are never told. But this is at least a little piece of evidence that maybe he did. Not that there was anything wrong with Rachel. But Rachel died very young. He did not ask to be buried with her. He did not bury Rachel where Abraham and Sarah were buried. He did not bury Rachel where they buried Isaac and Rebekah. No, he buried Leah there. He was buried with the one who was despised and rejected. Are you? Have you been buried with Christ? Buried with the one who was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. Have we chosen to be buried with Him? Or have we chosen to be buried with the world and the things of the world and the physical beauty? And have we anchored ourselves to that? Or have we put our anchor where it needs to be with Christ. If you're here and not a child of God, the question that the song asks is why keep Jesus waiting? Don't make Him wait any longer. Be buried in baptism with Him tonight. If you're here and you are a child of God who maybe has slipped along the way and maybe has allowed God's blessings to pass you by much in the same way that Leah's did for a while, why not stop now and say, you know what, this time I will praise God for what He has given me. If you're here and subject to God's call in any way tonight, please come to the front seat while we stand and while we sing.